This meeting is now being recorded.
Shalom, everyone. Chodesh Tov. This is Elliot Schoenberg, the International Director of Placement for the Rabbinical Assembly, and we would like to welcome you to Chodesh Tov, our monthly podcast of cutting-edge scholarly information for what's new in the world and field of Jewish scholarship. Thank you for joining us. Our guest today is Rabbi Lawrence Traster, currently serving as the rabbinic director for J Street, and is very well known throughout the Jewish community for being an eco-theologian. Thank you, Rabbi Traster, for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. When we're talking about scholarship on Jewish environmentalism and specifically on Jewish environmental theology, we have to understand that there are two essential paths that are taken in this, which reflect paths in general environmental ethics and in other, certainly in Christian environmental theology as well. The first path is known as stewardship ethics. This is based upon the theological idea in Judaism that since humans were created in the image of God, our concern takes center stage. In other words, we are the center of God's concern, and although God cares for the rest of creation, our needs take primary. So this is often found in not only in Genesis 1, where humans are called created in the image of God, but also in Genesis chapter 2, where humans are put in the Garden of Eden and said that they are allowed to ovda ulashomra, to work the garden and to protect it, or in the JPS translation, to till it and to tend it. With stewardship ethics, we are supposed to take care of the environment because it is beneficial to us, and we're allowed to use creation for our own needs, and our needs take priority over other creatures. But we must do so within responsible limits. Now, this kind of approach is very attractive to many Jewish environmental writers, because it can easily be implemented into the system of mitzvot. So, for example, the mitzvah of Bal Tashchit, where you're not supposed to tear down fruit trees, has been used by many modern Jewish environmentalists across the ideological spectrum to talk about how we're allowed to use creation, but we must, of course, not do anything that will adversely affect it in terms of our own health and existence, and this can be applied to climate change, toxic chemicals, and things like that. But this is known as an anthropocentric kind of ethics. It's especially prevalent in Orthodox writing on the environment. Nathan Nachum Rockover in Israel has done quite a bit of work on this, as well as Manfred Gerstenfeld in a book called Judaism, Environmentalism, and the Environment, Mapping and Analysis. And you find that even today, when you look at most Orthodox responsa on the environment, which is especially coming out of Israel, by the way, that's where the majority of Orthodox concern with the environment is coming from, it really takes this kind of halachic stewardship ethics approach, and so it's based upon that whole basic theological idea that human concerns are the center of the Jewish tradition. But there's another stream, which in general secular environmental ethics has become far more prevalent, and that is what's been called the biocentrist position. In the biocentrist position, humans don't necessarily have pride of place in the environment, that we are seen as, to use one term, citizens of a community. This stems from Aldo Leopold, the great American environmental writer who published the Sand County Almanac in the late 40s, what he calls his land ethic. In other words, that within the ethical circle, humans must also contain animals, plants, soils, and even the landscape. That's why it's called the land ethic. And under biocentrism, therefore, when we are considering environmental decisions, the landscape itself and the life therein have to have a voice, as it were, in the decision-making process. And in the case of threatened species, for example, we have to recognize their inherent right to exist, and not only their existence as it pertains to us, in other words, their value to us. So there may be a species that has no possible value to us in any way, whether that be economic or aesthetic or even spiritual, but in biocentrism, that species still has a right to exist. There was a famous article that was written by an environmental lawyer years ago called "Do Trees Have Standing?" Namely, do they have legal standing, and who speaks for them? So in modern Jewish environmental writing, you find a biocentrist position primarily within those writers who tend to follow the Kabbalistic tradition as influencing their work. And I speak here primarily of Arthur Green and Arthur Waskow, for example. And Arthur Green's probably the most sophisticated writer on this subject. He's written a number of books, but his recent book, Radical Judaism, I highly recommend, especially its second chapter on a history of God, where he really develops this concept of God, which is not fully transcendent, but rather what is called panentheistic, in which the universe is within God, but God is more than the universe. And this allows him to come to a more biocentrist theology when it comes to environmentalism. Another source of environmental theology and spirituality in Judaism have been the works of Abraham Joshua Heschel. And a number of writers, and this has gone, by the way, outside the Jewish community and even in the secular environmental movement, have seen his concept of the ineffable and the idea of wonder as being a very important part of sort of as a spiritual foundation to environmental action and environmental sensitivity. So certainly the works of Heschel are quite relevant in that regard. And if you look in the anthology on Judaism and ecology edited by Chava Tirosh Samuelson, which came out of a series of conferences at Harvard about 10 years ago, a little more than 10 years ago, you will see a couple of articles there about Heschel. So this idea of Heschel's radical amazement is one that has had a big impact on environmental spirituality, especially in the Jewish community. There are those like Arthur Waskow who go much further in adopting Kabbalistic models in attempting to create a biocentrist position or even a pantheistic situation in which, you know, everything is within God. And therefore, this is one of the reasons that makes it sacred. And you find a lot of this within the Jewish renewal movement. Within the traditional sources, there are a few that can be called upon for a more biocentrist position, principally the last chapters of the book of Job, which have been described as really a world without people in which humans are not necessarily God's center of concern, and you often find those referred to. I think that Jewish environmental theology, for a large part, has been a lot of effort has been gone into trying finding, you know, sort of mitzvot, reinterpreting mitzvot or new mitzvot. But I also think that those who are sort of plumbing the depths for something a little deeper than that are actually also looking to the Hasidic tradition. And are actually coming up with some interesting material. I think you find the biocentrist ethic is behind a lot of the Jewish renewal movement's connection with environmental spirituality. Another source of Jewish environmentalism can be found in the works of the German Jewish philosopher Hans Jonas. That last name is spelled J-O-N-A-S, like Jonas. Hans Jonas was a very important Jewish student of Martin Heidegger, but he broke with Heidegger, and his is very much in the European philosophical tradition, which with a metaphysical kind of base. And Jonas, although he didn't like to identify himself as a Jewish philosopher, is nonetheless heavily influenced by the Bible. His work, I think, espouses another way of looking at the environment, which does a really good job of integrating modern science into it. So I highly recommend his work. There's also been a recent study of his work from a conference that came some years ago, and I myself wrote an article in that published volume about Hans Jonas's environmental ethics. Recently, just came out, there is the new issue of the CCAR Quarterly is a whole theme issue on Judaism and science, and there are several articles there which are relevant. I think the whole issue is relevant to this, but specifically related to environmental theology and its connection with our relationship to modern science. I think some of the other authors who have written very good books that should be examined by anyone who's serious about this is Ellen Bernstein, Jeremy Benstein, also the writings of Alon Schwartz, and there are some others as well. So there's been a slow but steady growth in Jewish environmental scholarship and literature. I think for those who are interested in more of the moral element of it, I would look at the wisdom literature, which has not been plumbed very much, but there was an important work that Chava Tior Samuelson published some years ago called Happiness in Pre-Modern Judaism, which I think is extremely important to develop a counter-cultural argument against consumerism, which can be based on a lot of different traditional Jewish sources, especially the biblical wisdom literature. I myself have been doing a fair bit of work in that regard. So one can start with the theology, and you can sort of go in these two major directions, either biocentrism or stewardship ethics. But once having found a theological foundation, it's then sort of necessary to understand what ethical path one takes. I think there's room for a lot more growth. I think the paths have been laid out, but I think there's a lot of work still to be done.
Thank you, Rabbi Traster. I'd like to inform everyone that this program is Chodesh Tov, a joint project of the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies in Los Angeles, the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York, the Schechter Institute in Jerusalem, and the International Rabbinical Assembly. This is Chodesh Tov, presenting the cutting-edge information and the latest fields in Jewish scholarship. This has been Elliot Schoenberg for the Rabbinical Assembly. Thank you for joining us.
Elliot? Hello?